VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the so-called Equality Act is a top priority item in the Biden administration. As we've reported previous in the House, H.R. 5 passed February 25th. The vote was 224 to 206. All 221 Democrats voted in favor of the legislation. None voted against it. As to Republicans, 206 voted in opposition. Three voted in favor of it. Congressman Fitzpatrick, Katko, and Reid. So H.R. 5 sent over to the Senate. Incidentally, the Senate on February 23rd introduced their own bill by the same name, Equality Act, and is S-393. So whether the Senate takes up H.R. 5 from the House or S-393, they're virtually the same. The devastating consequences will remain the same from these pieces of legislation. And indeed, the church and Christianity are in the crosshairs of this legislation. In addition to the church being impacted, this legislation will impact every business across the nation. Girls' sports, as we know them, will be obliterated. Privacy will be breached. Shelters for battered women whose residents have been abused by men will now be required to house men who identify as women. The consequences don't end there, but they will only just begin. With a look at the so-called Equality Act through a pastor's eyes, we welcome back to Crosstalk Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Emeritus of the Moody Church, where he served as a senior pastor for some 36 years. He's a speaker in the radio program Running to Win, also Songs in the Night. He's the author of numerous books, including the book released last fall, We Will Not Be Silenced. Dr. Lutzer, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
So glad to be with you today, Jim, and all of the things that are happening. It seems as if a series of dominoes have been set up there in Washington, and one after the other is tumbling.
Does that mean God's no longer in control?
You know, that's the good news, is that God is still in control. And we have to, as Christians, expand our understanding of God in such a way that we realize he's not only in control when things appear to be good, but he's also in control when things appear to be evil. Now, he doesn't do evil, but there's no doubt that what happens in the world is always supervised by God. And if you read the Old Testament especially, you'll notice that God raises up leaders and takes them down. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is judge. He brings down one and puts up another. So we need to see God in the midst of this. We have to do all that we can to stand against this incursion of our culture as it comes toward us and all the implications. But at the same time, this is a good opportunity to look to God. One other comment, you know, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, an army is coming against him. And you remember those famous words, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Lutzer, some will look, you know, to those same scriptures, but they'll look at a verse like Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. They'll take that verse and say, see, this verse promotes equality. How could you possibly be opposed to equality, Dr. Lutzer?
That is almost funny. I'm sorry for chuckling for just a moment, but here's the thing. There's no word probably in all of our culture now that is as misused as the word equality. The simple fact is that while all are created equal in terms of value, not all actions are equal, certainly, and equality can be used in a way that is totally contrary to our general thought of equality. I mean, it's not only the Equality Act, but you have environmental equality. You have marriage equality, which, of course, is same-sex marriage. You have, health care equality, which is abortion. So the word equality should not be taken like an elastic band and stretched and made into whatever we want it to be. So the Equality Act is the greatest threat to the Christian faith in America, certainly, and it is really the recipe for greater inequality. In other words, individual Christians will not have their freedoms, and they will be taken away from them and imposed upon them by the state. And so when you talk about equality in this sense, it is a total misuse of the word in which we generally used it. And by the way, since I'm on this subject, the same for the word justice. Who is not in favor of justice? Everyone. Micah says, you know, do that which is justly, and so forth. But justice can be twisted into environmental justice, marriage justice, social justice, which could be contrary to the Bible, though it's variously defined. And so we need, when we hear that word equality, we need to step back, we need to take a deep breath and say, what is it really saying?
Dr. Lutzer, we look at the First Amendment to our Constitution, and it states that Congress may not make a law to prohibit the free exercise of religion, but it's not exactly what this does. I mean, it can't be more blatant that directly stating right in this legislation, the Equality Act, that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 shall not provide a claim concerning or a defense to a claim under a cover title, or provide a basis for challenging the application or enforcement of a cover title. In other words, they're saying the Religious Freedom, Religious Freedom Restoration Act just does not apply to this, and it's a breach of our First Amendment. It can't be more blatant than that, can it? I mean, the church is targeted.
Let nobody say that they are hiding what they're doing. I believe that the radical left is so confident that they can now do it in your face, because what you have just read means indeed they are saying this is the end of freedom of religion. And when you stop to think of it, it's not just for churches, though that's the first thing that comes to my mind, mm-hmm. having been a pastor for so many years. Christian colleges will not have the freedom to hire people who agree with their doctrinal statement and their lifestyle requirements. You have Christian businesses that are operated from a Christian standpoint. They will not have the freedom to hire or to fire, for that matter. And so all the way through, that's what it really is. I just wrote a letter about this to a similar bill in Canada that's being given out throughout Canada. It's a similar bill. And I said to them, to those who were going to be in favor of it, now you have to answer this question honestly. If you had a daughter and she was in a gym class and her gym teacher was a biological male who nonetheless identifies as a female, would you be okay with them being in the locker room together and showering together? And I said, if you are going to vote for this bill, at least have the honesty to say, yes, I'd be okay with it.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Lutzer, you mentioned Canada, and here we have a dad facing jail time for not affirming the sexual transition of a daughter that wants to be identified as male, and the ramifications on this are huge as it relates to this matter, and those are the kind of things we're going to see coming for America. I'd like to raise this church issue with you, though, because recently there was a church that was just booted from membership in the Southern Baptist Convention for their capitulating to the LGBT ideology. They brought into membership those that are characterized by this lifestyle. But if this act would pass, actions like this against the church by the convention, that could no longer happen, correct?
There would be a blizzard of lawsuits. And eventually there'd be so many lawsuits that we as Christians would run out of money. The radical left would have billions on their side, and we would lose all of these cases. So we would have to rethink what it even means to have a church, because the freedoms that we have been used to since America's founding would be all washed away. And so, the question I want to ask people who are listening today is, when you have a free exercise of religion clause, Congress, shall not shall not do anything to hinder the free exercise of religion. That may not be exactly the words, but that's the essence. What in the world does that mean when you have a bill like this, which is an assault against that very statement? I don't know, but that's what it's come down to.
Dr. Lutzer, give me your perspective as to what you're seeing happening within the Christian community, because the larger question that the story just mentioned here from Southern Baptists is that what is causing congregations even to go down this road, to choose this path of affirming the LGBT lifestyle, or in cases just recently too, we saw like Bethany Christian Services, what I believe is the largest evangelical adoption agency, announced that we're no longer going to place children just in heterosexual households, but now nationwide they're including putting them in same-sex household. What is the impetus for churches and organizations, ministries that are just casting aside what Scripture has to say on these issues and following that which is becoming socially or societally correct?
Two things. First of all, in Bethany's case, it could be that it was a financial decision, some pressure upon them that they couldn't get funds unless they did that. In the case of the church, there are two things that drive this. The Apostle Paul says that in the last days there are going to be those who are going to have teachers in accordance with their passions. Now, if there's any place where we have passions, it is when we come to the issue of sexuality. So as society begins to go downhill, you'll always see more immorality, the justifying it, of course, and what you're going to find is churches that are going to bow to the passions, their personal passions, and the passions of their culture. The second thing that drives it is a false, unbiblical view of love. You know, in my book, We Will Not Be Silenced, I point out that when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they didn't stop loving. They just started to love the wrong things, lovers of pleasure, lovers of self, lovers of money. So people think that because there's, quote, love, it justifies a behavior, but it's a false kind of love. Jesus said, herein is love, that you keep my commandments. And so what we have today is, under the guise of compassion and love, you have churches and individuals submitting to the culture. And we can't do that. And, you know, I always say, and this is something that I also have in the book, where I say it is better to speak the truth, even if you are thought unloving, than it is to speak lies with compassionate tones and caring tones. So it's a fine line we have to walk, truth and love. We can't sacrifice truth and love. We have to have both, and we have to teach the younger generation that they are not at war with each other.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, our guest here today on Crosstalk, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to delve just a little bit further into this issue here today as to where this is going to take us as a nation, what path that's going to lead us. Also, we'll be taking a look at a couple of the key chapters in his book, We Will Not Be Silenced, and how they relate to the very issue that's upon us as a nation. Folks, again, this has already passed the U.S. House of Representatives. It's up before the U.S. Senate. They just had a committee hearing on this here just this past week, and I'll be providing you a number for the U.S. Senate as well, where your voice can be heard. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, any new dinosaur extinction theories?
Of course, Chris. There's always a new theory. Here's a new one. We all know that methane gas can be deadly at high concentrations. Methane gas is found in gases exuding from deep inside the Earth, and it's proposed that a huge methane belch of gas came up from the Earth's mantle, spread out over the land, and killed off all the dinosaurs. Well, that's convenient. That's the kind of theory you can't prove one way or the other. But here's something else to think about. The dead dinosaurs are all found in water-deposited strata. They're not just laying on the surface of the ground having been poisoned by methane gas. They were buried by water. I think it's the great flood of Noah's day. That flood may have included a lot of methane, but it was primarily a water flood. That's the evidence we have. It all goes back to Genesis.
Thank you, Dr. John. This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, our guest today, Pastor Emeritus of the Moody Church and author of the book, We Will Not Be Silenced. Folks, it is a powerful book. I'd just like to make a mention of this, that the book is available through our VCY bookstore. It's 280 dynamic pages. It really is a must-read if you want to know where we are in society today and how we got to where we are. It's a wake-up call. This book did release last fall. Our bookstore continues to carry this book. They have it available right now at 23% off the regular price. You'll find it at vcy.com, vcy.com, or you may call the bookstore 1-888-722-4829. 1-888-722-4829. And Dr. Lutzer, as we even bring your book up in this segment here of the program today, what impact has this book had since it came out here this past fall?
You know, Jim, I have to tell you, I'm so humbled by the fact that it has been so widely received. It is doing very well, and the issue is not the sales, though they are very high, or higher at least than I'm used to, let's put it that way. But that's not the issue. The issue is the transforming power of two things. Number one, understanding the culture, but also applying biblical solutions. That's why, you know, whether it is the issue of the destruction of our monuments and the vilification of our history, or free speech, or my chapter that I have on propaganda, all the way through Islam and the left chiming together to destroy America, all that, in each chapter, I have what is the response of the church, because that's really my heart.
Yeah, and that's where the solution lies.
Yeah.
Let me pick up on this aspect. I saw this homosexual publication called The Advocate. They published online a story on this, and it was a transcript of an interview with Jim Obergefell. He was the one that was used to usher in the so-called same-sex marriage in our nation through the U.S. Supreme Court. But Dr. Lutzer, he indicated in this interview, he said, we still don't enjoy true marriage equality. Despite what the court did, we still don't enjoy true marriage equality. And I thought, to individuals like this, there's never enough, that there's never enough, but that there's always something more down this path. The end game just doesn't end. There is nothing that is going to bring that total satisfaction in this regard. I thought of the people pressing on the doors at Lot's house, etc. But once you change that standard and that definition, there's never enough.
And the reason for that, as I point out, has to do with Marxism. You see, in Marxism, the victory is not complete until the oppressed, which would be the LGBTQ community that you're talking about, overcomes the oppressor and gains cultural dominance. So the idea is not equality. Many people think it's equality. No, it's not equality. It is cultural dominance. And that's probably what he means when he makes that statement. And in that sense, yes, there is never enough, and we need to understand what the real issue is, and what underlies it is this cultural Marxism idea that you have the oppressed and the oppressor, and there is no real transformation until the oppressed overcome the oppressors. So that's why the battle continues, and it will continue until the left has cultural dominance, and everyone else has to obey and or else be arrested or whatever.
What happens to a nation that goes down this path?
Well, once it begins to tumble down this path, it's a very, very difficult thing to stop. You know, from what I've studied about history, and of course I wrote a book also about Nazi Germany that you may know about, once you do this, once you're on the train, it's hard. You know, Bonhoeffer made the statement that if you're on the wrong train, it doesn't matter whether you walk from the front to the back or the back to the front. And the train in America clearly has left the station, and we are all together in this. And as we walk past the various passengers, it's our opportunity to share the gospel. But it's not as if we can stop the train. God could through a revival, through direct intervention. But that's my book that you've lovingly and carefully referred to, you know, was not written so much to reclaim the culture as it is to reclaim the church.
Yes.
My concern is, okay, we're all on this train together, but are we going to submit to its ultimate destination or are we not? Are we going to stand against the culture? And that, I think, is the very important question of the day.
Chapter 6 of your book is entitled Sexualize the Children, How School Curricula and Popular Culture Are Leading Our Children into Sexual Confusion and Warped Ideas of Personal Identity. I'd like you to comment on this, Dr. Lutzer, in that some of the latest surveys that have come out are pointing to the significant numbers, percentage increase, especially in millennial generations, of those who are identifying as LGBT.
And not only that, but trans. And the reason for that, by the way, is because in many of our schools, they are taught that you choose the range, the full range of your identity, your sexual identity. So you can be binary, you can be male or female, but you can also have this spectrum of identities. So here you have teenagers who are struggling anyway, most of us did as teenagers, trying to find their identity. So they begin to explore various kinds of sexual expression and say to themselves, well, you know, maybe I am trans, maybe I am LGBTQ, somewhere along that spectrum. And that's actually, you know, taught. Now, I know an instance in which a girl, a teenage girl, said, I am a cat, I'm a fuzzy. Now, technically, you're not to challenge that, because this is another thing that people don't understand about cultural Marxism. In cultural Marxism, your truth is yours, and only you know who you really are, and no one has to correct you or judge you. So theoretically, if she says she's a cat, theoretically, you have to take that at face value. Don't argue with her, because after all, only she knows who she is. Now, many people who are listening today will say, well, that's absolutely absurd. And my answer is, of course it's absurd. But, Jim, we're living in an era in which absurdity no longer is an argument against anything. Now, if parents want to convince their daughter that she really has chosen a wrong identity, they might be chastised for trying to convert her to their viewpoint. I know I'm using an extreme example, but I want to make a point here that if we do not help parents to understand that they are ultimately responsible for their children's education, and hopefully maybe they could be homeschooled or in a faith-based school. If not, if they're in public school, every day you meet with them, you learn what their curriculum is. You learn what their teachers are telling them so that you can guide them and help them and to sift through what is being said. And I plead with parents today, that is your responsibility, because many of the schools, maybe not all, have certainly lost their way and they aren't even teaching. Jim, did you know that there's now a revolt against mathematics because they say it's a white discipline? And the reason is because it has objectivity. Remember going back to what I just said a few minutes ago about my experience is my experience and don't argue with me.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have today is standpoint theories of truth. My standpoint is absolute. And you insist that mathematics has only one right answer. And that sounds very racist. And so even in my book, I point out how this is being used today in certain schools to show that mathematics has been used to promote inequality and racism.
My.
Again, we're back to absurdities, but remember, absurdity is no argument against anything.
It is, what's interesting too is, and I refer to a chapter you have in your book as well, Vilify, 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 and it, the viewpoints that you're espousing, you're deemed to be the hateful one. You're deemed to be the intolerant one. We're deemed to be that through programs like this as well. When we call these things out, we are the bad guy, according to those who want to vilify the very positions that we hold that have stood the test of time.
And the reason that, and the way in which that is done is by using language, you know, in such a way that you camouflage what the real issues are. So today, many people ask this question, and this relates to the cancel culture, too, which I talk about. This relates to this question. People are asking, am I woke enough to be seen as virtuous? So the whole idea is this, that you are hateful, you are racist, but I am totally exempt from any of those weaknesses and any of those sins. But you are actually the evil one. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the point, Jim, and I need to make this. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ has to step to the plate, because it has an answer. Its answer is that the differences between us are not that great. We're all sinners. We all come to the foot of the cross. We all acknowledge our need, and we receive Christ as Savior. And having done that, then we ask, what can we do together to make things better? So we are not spending all of our time shouting at each other across racial fences, like the Marxists want us to do. We're actually interested in a sense of unity and understanding. That's not the way in which this is being taught in our universities today.
Right, right. But they're using diversity to actually divide, not to bring us together.
That's the whole intention. The whole intention. Saul Alinsky here in Chicago, a Marxist who died in 1976, but he saw that Marxism could be applied to race. And I talked to one of the people who worked with him. He said that Saul Alinsky was not interested in any solutions. He would say, the goal is not to help. You use the problems. You do not solve the problems. And those are the words of Saul Alinsky, and that can be written across the diversity studies in our university, that can be written across all of the gender studies and all this. The goal is to divide and destroy. It is to use it to bring about perpetual conflict until the oppressed overcome the oppressors.
Friends, this could come up before the U.S. Senate at any time. Yes, they had a hearing in committee last week. The House, they did not even hold committee hearings. They just plucked it out of committees and said, we're going to vote on this on the House floor. And the issues on the filibuster, the jury is still out. We're going to take a break momentarily and have our guests comment on it. But I want to give you the phone number to the Senate switchboard. It's imperative that your senators hear from you. If you've never even contacted them on any issue in your entire life, make this your first issue here today, friends. The implications of this passing are so grave upon the church and upon our nation as a whole. The number to the Senate switchboard is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. If you'd like individual numbers to your U.S. senators, all you have to do is go to Senate.gov, and you'll see the list of senators there. You have two for your state, two direct phone numbers that will take you to their offices. Otherwise, you may use the Senate switchboard, 202-224-3121. So what about the filibuster? We'll tackle that right after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
There is an overwhelming apathy that has invaded many churches and youth groups. The apathy has become so pervasive that many have abandoned sound teaching and resorted to entertainment. Instead of God's Word, activities are used to build the church or build the youth group. This troubling trend is captured in the DVD, Play the Flute, by Rich Cristiano. The story of a youth director who takes over a youth group filled with spiritual apathy. As he tries to motivate his students to get serious about their relationship with the Lord, he finds himself in an uphill battle. Although discouraged, what happens next is something he and his students will never forget. Play the Flute is available on DVD for a donation of $18 or more to VCY America. And for a limited time, additional copies to the same address are available for a donation of just $15 more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. The Equality Act has passed the House, now before the United States Senate. Your view can be heard by your, to your senators. Direct your comments to your senators at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. A reminder, the book We Will Not Be Silenced. Powerful book. Again, it's really a must read as we understand where we are today. How did we get to this point? And how do we get back on track once again? You'll find that in the book, We Will Not Be Silenced, available at vcy.com. They do have it reduced 23% off right now, or you may call 1-888-722-4829. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is our guest here today. We're talking about the filibuster, Dr. Lutzer. And that is very much, it's like a weather vane. Which way is the Senate going to go on this issue? Some are calling about the using the nuclear option, doing away with the filibuster. It could be a very different nation if indeed they get rid of the filibuster.
Yeah, because if they have the filibuster, they would need 10 Republicans to vote with them. And I don't think that they would have the vote, although I'm not a close watcher of all that goes on in Congress. But nonetheless, this is absolutely huge. And it really shows, you know, I know that there are many people who think that politics isn't important. And I understand, because it's not all important. God is the one who's all important. It's the gospel. But at the same time, you think, for example, of what happened in Georgia with those two senators and how that impacted what the Senate is able to do. I know that if people could see me right now, I'm on the radio, but if they could see me, I really almost have to push the tears back from my eyes for this reason. I was born in Canada. I became an American citizen many years ago. I've lived here now for 48 years or so. When I think of this nation with its awesome freedoms, you know, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or abridging its free use thereof. With the whole idea that we could have Christian churches that could preach the gospel and people could agree or disagree or argue about it, and that all was fine. To think that all that now is washed away like a sandcastle on the edge of a sea when the tide comes in, and it's all gone. And that we now must submit at penalty to the cultural dominance of the LGBTQ community and to understand that that now becomes the standard. It's deserving of tears, and it certainly is deserving of repentance.
Dr. Lutzer, this also is going to hit the counseling room and that time between pastor and his church members as it relates to those who would come and say, Pastor, one would come and say, I've got unwanted same-sex attraction, or I've got this or that. This legislation, known as the Equality Act, would forbid that pastor from counseling somebody and under the banner of what they term conversion therapy, but would forbid him from giving biblical counsel on addressing this very issue.
Exactly. And that, of course, is just part of the continuation, the dominoes that I spoke of when
Yes.
we began together on the show. The dominoes are set up that once you begin down this track, there's no ending until everything is finally gone. And the cultural dominance will belong to the radical left. People need to understand that because we have taken for granted what God has given us. So here's what I'd like to say. As Christians, we're going to have to relearn what other eras have learned, namely that faithfulness to Christ is going to be costly. I think it was somebody paraphrasing Bonhoeffer who made the statement that carrying the cross of Jesus Christ into the world seems like a wonderful idea until you discover that the cross took Jesus to Golgotha. And the whole idea that we can have freedom, stand for truth, without any repercussions, maybe a few but not great, all that is gone. So we're going to have to talk about imprisonment. We're going to have to talk about fines, huge fines that churches will not be able to pay, and Christian organizations. So we're going to have to say, as I mentioned earlier, Jehoshaphat, we don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. And we're going to have to rethink the whole business of what persecution and standing for Christ means in a culture now where our freedoms may indeed all be washed away.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Dr. Lutzer, if you would also just address the responsibility of the church should the Equality Act pass. Is it the church's responsibility to change those membership standards? Do we open up our pulpits? Do we allow people on our staff that would violate, you know, what we presently have written in our church constitutions? Do we make unisex bathrooms in our churches? Do we just avoid preaching Romans chapter 1? What is the responsibility of the church should this pass?
I would say no to all of your questions except one. Maybe the time is coming when bathrooms are going to have to be individualized. That might be a possibility of the church, but no to all the other questions that you have asked. And what is it that we're going to learn? Well, one thing we're going to learn is that the Church of Jesus Christ was not built on the American Constitution, even though the Constitution is a wonderful document. It was built on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we must remember that when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," I've been to Caesarea Philippi, perhaps you also have been, and when you stand there, you realize that Jesus said that while standing right in the middle, the citadel of pagan religion. So we're going to have to rethink again that the Church of Jesus Christ is built upon him. What this will mean going forward, I have no idea. Maybe churches are going to have to resort to being small groups. And, you know, there'll be the underground church, so to speak, as there are in countries where freedom does not exist. I have no idea. I hope it doesn't get to that, and perhaps in God's mercy it might not. But the point is, we're going to have to think differently than we have been thinking up until now.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Carl calling from Texas. Hi, Carl. You're on the air.
Yes, how you doing, sir?
Fine, thank you.
I was calling because I agree with 80% of what you guys are speaking on, but I wanted to talk about the Marxism culture of the church and what it has brought to the table over the years and hasn't brought to the table, as well as judgmentalness of the church. And for you guys to kind of speak on that, because the church hasn't always been godly. Because remember, they were chopping off heads and taking over kingdoms and stuff like that as well. So when he talks about the Marxism culture and, you know, the underdog taking over, you know what I'm saying, the main, I'm just a little confused because the church has always done it.
Okay.
And been just spitting on top of it.
Okay, Carl, we'll have our guest discuss that issue. Dr. Lutzer.
You know, Carl, I would like to have that question rephrased a little bit. I'm not sure if I caught it all. Carl's question was what?
Okay, so you're speaking on the Marxism culture of the LGBTQ, whatever they are, and I agree on that. I agree that you can't say anything wrong, can't do anything wrong, or you're going to be canceled, cut off, whatever. I agree with that. But also, I agree that the church has also been that as well, too.
Okay,
and
all right, I think I understand
so that,
now. Yeah. If you look at the church during the Middle Ages, for example, the church did not have freedom of religion. You know, this is why people don't understand the uniqueness of the West, the uniqueness of America. If you look throughout history, the church has had to survive without freedom of religion, and it has done so and shown that you can be faithful without freedom of religion. All that you have to do is to ask the martyrs. And unfortunately, sometimes Christendom, you know, there were martyrs, there were those who were persecuted for their faith and put to death. And the church has many blots on its history. I grant that. And we could talk about the Inquisition. We could talk about various responses from the Protestants and the Catholics. But at the same time, what we have in America that we haven't appreciated as much as we should have, we do have freedom of religion. And what we need to do is to recognize its uniqueness. Now, is freedom of religion important? Absolutely. Look at the difference between North Korea and South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
North Korea, the church is totally crushed under the hand of totalitarianism and communism. South Korea, at least years ago, the church was always growing. And the reason that I hate to see the demise of America is not just selfish. You can go around the world, and most ministries in other countries are supported by American dollars. Americans give $400 billion a year to charity. And we've been able to do that because God has prospered us. Capitalism has enabled us to actually create wealth, not just divide it up, as socialism does. And so the point is this. It is not to justify everything that the church has done. I agree with that. I agree with Carl. But at the same time, this is an opportunity for us to recognize that either the church is going to move forward through freedom, or we're going to have to rethink what it means to be Christians in the midst of a society that has become totalitarian.
Carol, thank you for the question here today. Appreciate it. So, Dr. Lutzer, let me ask you this. If all of a sudden the Congress came forth, the Senate leadership, and said, okay, we hear you, Dr. Lutzer. We hear you, Crosstalk listeners. We're going to give a religious carve-out for this Equality Act to move it forward. We'll get past that. That'll stop the opposition. Would you still be in opposition to this legislation?
Absolutely. I'd be in opposition to the legislation for two reasons. Number one, it would probably just carve out a little area, maybe for churches, maybe for freedom of worship. The left loves that.
Yeah.
Freedom of worship. What that means is you can worship whatever God you want when you're in church, but not freedom of religion, not the ability to live it out. You know, but yeah, you can worship whoever you want. I remember when I was in China in the mid-1980s, a guide said to us, of course we have freedom of religion in China, she said. People can be as religious as they want to be within their own minds. In other words, you can worship whatever God you want, but don't you dare think that you can live it out. That's part of the reason why I'd be against it. But the other thing is, it would not necessarily apply to Christian organizations, Christian ministries. And then the second thing is, it would be a step toward ultimate crushing of our liberties. The left would say, it would be like the left saying, you know, you can have a bathtub of water. You can pour hot water on one side, one end of the bathtub, cold water on the other. But, you know, just know that they won't mix and one won't influence the other. Of course they will.
We're going to take a quick break, and callers, stay on the line. We'll get to your calls here right after the break. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is our guest here today. We're talking about the Equality Act. Indeed, it's thinly veiled inequality. And we'll take more of your calls right after the break. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Recently, the former Director of National Intelligence for the Trump administration, John Ratcliffe, appeared on Fox News to declare that governments all across the globe have documented the sightings of, wait for it, UFOs. He goes on to state that these objects are flying at huge speeds, supersonic speeds. But guess what? They don't give off a sonic boom. They're making turns and maneuvers that are beyond the technology of today. And frankly, they're beyond the ability of a human being to sustain such 90-degree turns at that rate of speed. What are we looking at? Well, I believe we're looking at something from the spiritual realm, preparing the world to deceive the world. Preparing the world to deceive the world. Ron Carlson, my friend, who passed away in June of 2011, finished his book, Fast Facts on False Teaching, predicting this would be how the world would be globally deceived.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is our guest, and he has not only been a pastor for many decades, but also author of this book, We Will Not Be Silenced, among other titles he has put out forth as well. But this is available at our VCY bookstore right now at 23% off, available at vcy.com or by calling 1-888-722-4829. Holly has been holding the longest from Red Granite, Wisconsin. Holly, you're on the air.
Hi, I was curious, as a pastor, you are very familiar with the consequences of these lifestyle choices, but there's also health hazards associated with homosexuality and the LGBTQ agenda. And so I was wondering, you know, what your take is on that and how that's going to affect legislation, because we know doctors aren't going to be able to do things that they know are beneficial, like gender dysphoria. They're going to be giving puberty blockers to these poor kids, you know, at a young age, and they're going to get irreversible treatments. You know, how limited are our physicians going to be?
Yeah, that's
a very good question, and I would answer that very quickly by saying very limited. Right now, there are doctors who say that they know that transgender surgery for a particular client especially would be very detrimental, but they can't say it without losing their jobs. Because remember this, ideology trumps science, it trumps biology, and it trumps medicine. Ideology drives this, not medicine or biology or anything else. So absolutely, these kinds of laws have far-reaching consequences.
Thank you so much, Holly, for raising that issue. Let's go to Ralph in South Dakota. Ralph, you're on the air.
Yeah, I want to ask Dr. Lutzer, why, you know, this Equality Act, and I'll give another example, the H.R. 1, they're obviously unconstitutional, at least I fear we'd agree on that. So why is that never discussed when something goes the other way, where an example here in South Dakota, the legislature passed a law, you know, that transgenders cannot, you know, if they're biologically a man or boy, they cannot compete in women's sports.
Mm-hmm.
And went to the governor, and she basically, they called it a silent veto, sent it back to the legislature, and she said, well, the NCAA can do whatever they want to. If they would sue us, we have very little chance of winning. So why is it always flipped around?
Okay.
I'm a little puzzled by your question. The simple fact is that, yes, the bills that you referred to are unconstitutional, but people want to override the Constitution, and there are ways that are being planned mm-hmm. to be able to do that, because the Constitution stands in the way of the leftist agenda. But as for biological men competing in women's sports, even some of the radical leftists know that that is absolutely foolish. And it is contrary, as I said, to biology. It's contrary to medicine. It's contrary to everything that we know. So you cannot just simply upend everything in the name of diversity or in the name of inclusion.
Thank you, Ralph. And you're right. Your governor right now has turned this legislation back, saying, well, we don't want this for elementary or secondary sports, but as far as the collegiate level, then somehow wants to make an exception for that. And I believe reaching out to your governor's office and holding her accountable even for this decision would be important for all South Dakotans to make here at this particular time. But indeed, a double standard, as Dr. Lutzer pointed out, and it is indeed against the Constitution, yet they're trying to subvert the Constitution by which we hold dear here in this regard. Thank you, Ralph. Let's go to Tim in Red Granite, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Tim.
Yes, I'd like to ask, how come the church is... didn't they kind of sell themselves out in a sense And I'm saying all the churches, all the Catholic Church, Protestant, Lutheran, to the 501c3, wouldn't they be better off to get out from under government control?
Oh, Tim, let me, forgive me for interrupting, but Dr. Lutzer, this has nothing to do with 501c3. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're for-profit, not-for-profit, 501c3 or not, this act would apply to all.
And also what we can do as citizens, we can take advantage of the government and its laws. And, you know, if we are tax exempt, for example, we take advantage of that. But he raises a good point in this regard, that the time may come when we'll lose our tax exempt status.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be coming down the pike, and that'll be a natural response if the Equality Act goes through, because after that, there are no more stopping places.
Thank you, Tim. We're going to get one last call in today. That's Brad in West Dallas. You're on the air, Brad.
Hey, Brother Jim. These leftists like to call people names. They call us Nazis, and they call the people we vote for dictators, and they call us white supremacists. What they call us is what they are and what they do. This bill, this Equality Act, is legalized tyranny. And it is also, this bill is also a sexual pervert supremacy bill. Everybody has to go along with it and celebrate it. And the people who vote for it hate us, they hate Jesus Christ, and they're doing the work of their father, the devil. Jesus had a lot to say to the Pharisees and the Sadducees back then, and he blistered them to their face. But these guys nowadays make those Pharisees and Sadducees look like pikers.
Thank you, Brad, for your comment. Dr. Lutzer, we have just a minute left if you want to respond to Brad or whatever you want to leave with our listeners here today.
Well, Brad was very clear regarding his opinion. The question is, how do we approach this in a way to appeal to people's consciences, even across the spectrum, as best that we can, remembering we are all created in the image of God, but remembering at the end of the day that what really matters is the gospel. The fact that Jesus died for sinners, and Jesus says to the broken, to the weary, no matter where they are on the sexual spectrum, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So let us not lose sight of the fact that we are called by God to point people to Jesus.
Amen. To be salt and to be light. Thank you, Dr. Lutzer, for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Again, his book, We Will Not Be Silenced, available at the VCY bookstore, vcy.com, 1-888-722-4829. This Equality Act could come up at any time before the U.S. Senate. You can reach out to your senators at 202-224-3121 or by senate.gov. And folks, continue to bathe this matter in prayer, prayer and repentance. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.